Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 this afternoon. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't be deceived. Those who are guilty of continuing in practice of these things aforementioned, are shut out of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Last week, and the week before that, and the week before that. But at the same time, they are the objects of God's wrath. Something the world doesn't like to think about today. Well, you listen to even the modern preacher today. You don't hear anything about the wrath of God from their lips. God loves everybody. God loves you. But yet the Bible talks about the wrath of God being upon some. And if he loves everybody, then who's his wrath on? Well, my Bible tells us it is upon the workers of iniquity. It is upon the children of disobedience. Yes. Amen. And here in our text, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. In keeping with the context, and if you haven't learned anything yet, you ought to know by now that context is everything. When you sit down to read the Word of God and study the Word of God, context is everything. And comparing Scripture with Scripture. Let no man deceive you with vain words. So in context, he's referencing the sins previously mentioned. The fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness, which he said, let it not be ones named among you as saints. It's not suitable for a saint to have that named among them. Notice named among them. I think we pointed this out. And not just the practice of it, but even to be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. They're not becoming one who has arrived to be a child of God, to be His. Now, in reference to what he said here, let no man deceive you with vain words, there are those who have us to think, who would try to deceive us concerning the matter of morals, concerning the matter of good behavior and the spiritual life, teaching that the sins of the body are just that, and in no way affect the spiritual life. Have you ever heard anybody talk like that? Act like that? I have. It's as if, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. Well, as we compare that thought with Scripture, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. And turning to chapter 2. And look with me at verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter here saying that there were those that walked among them in time past, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and even shall be those false prophets, those false teachers. And he goes on in chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's saying these are the words of us, the apostles, as they were the prophets before, and of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of this book. The words which Peter is speaking here. And he's addressing the issue of false prophets and saying concerning things to come that, well, you know, they've been talking about that since the beginning of time. And it just hadn't come to pass. Well, look with me at chapter 2 of 1 John. Chapter 2 of 1 John. And notice here what he says. Little children. John liked to say, my little children. In other words, he's talking about those who he had the opportunity of being instrumental in preaching them the gospel and their salvation and teaching them the things of the Word of God. He considered them his little children. Paul did too. He told the Corinthians he was their father. Mm-hmm. You know, he was their father. He had preached the gospel. The Lord had saved them. And been baptized and added to the church. And he was their spiritual father, he said. He said, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Antichrist. In other words, he's against Christ, mm-hmm. shall come. Even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Even now there are many antichrists, and if it was so in John's day, 180, 90 AD, how much more so in the year 2021? Who would deceive you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What's he talking about? He's talking about us following after those lusts, after those desires, after those passions, which is what he's talking about in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses that we're looking at. And then he goes on to make this comment about Antichrist. Did you know that you can be an antichrist if you preach and teach something that is different than what Christ said? Yes. Than what God's Word says? Amen. And all the while portray yourself to be a lover of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Look at the fourth chapter. In verse 5. They are of the world. Can it be said any plainer than that? He's the spirit of Antichrist. We've already established the spirit of Antichrist can be teaching something contrary to what Christ taught. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. They have a great following. They have a great following. So don't you be deceived with vain words. They're empty words. They're not the words of Christ. You measure every word by the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation in chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Why? Because they weren't speaking the truth of the Word of God. They weren't speaking the words of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. In other words, I can't go against the word of the Lord. I can only prophesy the word of the Lord. If God doesn't curse them, I can't curse them either. But here's what you can do to bring the cursing of God upon them. Well, I'm telling you, to walk a disobedient life to His Word, even as a child of God, will bring God's judgment upon you.
Amen.
Which is what He's telling us in Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Well, go ahead and do it. The law has no more effect over us. It doesn't. Look at what he said in verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto God. There it is, folks. It's getting right down to what he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. This Jezebel was in the church. Seems as though she was the pastor's wife. And she was teaching people, it's okay. Because you're saved. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you. Well, we have such people known as antinomians. And they maintain that under the gospel dispensation that we are no longer have any obligation to the law and hold to other doctrines that supersede the necessity of good works. That's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
I mean, chapter 4 of Ephesians, chapter 5 of Ephesians, it's about good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, what's that tell us? Well, verses 8 and 9 we love, don't we? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Which God had before ordained, before the foundation of the world, He has ordained, determined, that we should walk in them as saved individuals. They're deceivers. They're false prophets. They speak not the truth. Look at the book of Titus, chapter 2. Salvation come unto us. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, and that grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God, which brought salvation to our souls, has taught us, is teaching us that we ought to deny ungodliness.
Amen.
Not to walk in it. So someone comes to you trying to tell you that, well, it's okay. You've been saved. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. No, it's not okay. Second Timothy, I don't know how I got Titus before 2 Timothy, but I probably thought it was better to be read now. Chapter 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, shun profane and vain babblings, as Hymenaeus and Philetus, whose word doth eat as a canker. They weren't speakers of the things of God's word. Evildoers. All these things that he mentions previously. Purge himself from these. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, ready for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And that is why you and I were saved. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, before ordained that we should walk in them. People got the idea. The people and the false teachers that promote such things is go ahead and sin. You're saved. You're washed. You're cleansed. They think that the only thing salvation did for them was a fire escape from hell. No. That is a benefit of salvation. But we were saved unto works that glorify God and honor Him. And when He saved our souls, He put within us His Spirit, which desires in us holiness, does it not?
Amen. Yes.
And that's what we ought to be striving for and walking unto. He goes on to say in that verse, and we'll not deal with it today, but wants you to be thinking about it. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That is, those who have given their lives over to this. They've given their lives over to wickedness and over to evil and over to sin. They've given their lives over to fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and filthy talking and foolish talking and jesting and that kind of life. They're not the children of God. They're the children or disobedience. We cannot walk in those things. At least begin without our conscience being pricked. When we sin, is not our conscience pricked to whatever degree the sin was? And yes, if we continue to walk in that, we can sear over our conscience. And the Lord may let us go on for a time, let us go on for a while. But if we're His, He's going to do one of two things. He's going to turn us. He's going to whip us. Bring us back. Or He's going to say, you've become unprofitable. Come on home. I can't use you for my honor and glory any longer.
on earth. And there have been some that the Lord has done that to. I tell you today, it's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's a privilege to serve the Lord and to serve Him as He would have us to serve Him. I don't walk a perfect walk. You've probably noticed that. My desire is to. My desire is to be pleasing to my God, to my Lord, and my Savior, and honor Him in all I do. I have a desire. I have a desire to see my children saved. So far as I know, they're all saved, with the exception of one in-law. I have a desire to see all my grandchildren saved. Amen. And if I live a life that is worldly and ungodly and not any different than the wickedest of men in this world, what benefit is that going to be? How is the Lord going to use that to win the salvation of my loved ones? To win the salvation of those that live in this community. That we're to be a lighthouse unto. We're lights. The Lord Jesus Christ give us light. When He came into us, He gave us light. We're to be a light shining brightly. It's why we're members of the Lord's church. We're in the His candlestick. Where it can shine forth the brightest. But when we're walking lives in disobedience that aren't in accordance to His way and to His word, we're not shining very brightly, even on that candlestick. And it's the church's responsibility to do something about it, as we learned this morning. Church's responsibility to take care of those whose light is burning dimly, shall we say. All right. We are closed with Bible study. We'll carry on more work of the Lord by going into our business meeting now this afternoon. Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to be here in Your house today, assembled with the assembly, the saints of the Bible of the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for placing us in this community. We thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it is our desire to be a light in this community, to shine brightly. It's the responsibility of every church member to let their light shine brightly in this candlestick, in this church, that we might be a bright shining light in this community. And that involves not only our good works, that involves the good work of preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ, to those that are unsaved. Lord, I know it can be scary. It can be fearful. We're not comfortable approaching individuals we don't know, especially in this time, day and time. But Lord, give us boldness. You've told us, You've given us the assurance that You're with us. That You're in the midst of us. Yeah, it is. You're in the midst of us as we do Your work and do what we've been called to do. So help us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank You now for this time that we can carry out the business of the church. Pray, Father, that You'd bless. Pray for Sister Kim as she's away traveling. We pray for her sister Robin, Lord. Pray that You would bless. give her the assurance of salvation or save her soul, whichever is needed. You know. We don't know. But you do. We pray for the others. We pray for the pastor friend that we mentioned this morning with severe back pain. Lord, pray that you bless there and heal. Pray that you be with him as he goes to the doctor. Others. Others on our list. Suffering with cancer. Pat Diener. Becky Ray. There's others that are heard of at the conference. Lord, our desire would be that they would be healed and be restored to a measure of health for the sake of their family and loved ones. But nonetheless, dear Heavenly Father, according to your will. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.